Welcome to Solve This Murder. I'm your detective, Danny. Bill.
Hey, hold on a second. What are you doing?
No,
I'm the
wait.
Detective.
But I've been the detective. Look, I think I've been doing an okay job so far.
You have.
Really?
It's my turn to be the
this
detective.
This is awkward. I mean, I don't know how we resolve this.
How about, and I'm just spitballing here, how about we find a book that somebody else has written in which you are a solve-it-yourself detective and we both fulfill that role and try and solve this mystery book ourselves?
Well, I mean, that's baffling. We would need a house full of suspects, clues by the roomful, a puzzle book for one or more players, and, you know, trickster clues, extra quizzes, hundreds of puzzles.
That sounds like a madhouse.
I think we should just give up right now.
Hey, everybody, we're going to read the book Madhouse. And I say read, but I don't really mean it. I don't quite get what it is. Can we try and describe what this is?
I have no idea yet, is the problem. It is called a wacky, solve-it-yourself detective adventure. It is a book from my childhood. Looking at the copyright date, it looks like I would have got it when I was about 9. Mm. And I don't have any recollection of this whatsoever.
Now, I will say, so for people who are unaware, maybe you are aware, I can't remember where we've mentioned it, Danny and I are currently working with another studio, with a game studio, on a puzzle game, a puzzle murder mystery sort of a game called Rise of the Golden Idol. It's a sequel to Case of the Golden Idol, which was a fantastic indie puzzle game, and when they were hiring...
And we can say that because we didn't work on that
we
one.
We didn't work on that one, so that's fantastic. The one we did work on, we can't tell you anything about it. It's very exciting. It's coming out later this year, and it's been really cool. For people who've played the original Golden Idol, if you haven't, you should. If you have, it has a thing where it kind of presents you with a map and then gives you close-ups on individual objects as your way of investigating the scene. And I want to say that this book, when I was looking through it, might be similar in structure.
All I know is it does come with one big old map of everything that is going on in this chaotic, presumably murder-filled house.
But I want to say most of the rest of the book is like close-ups of things on that map.
That may well be the case.
They're like, here's that briefcase in Sector A2, I think. I'm not sure. I've only given it a quick glance.
Now, let me just take a look at the credits for this book in case you want to find it yourself. We'll find out how much we recommend that, but it looks pretty cool. It seems unique. I'm interested in it. So it's called Madhouse with an exclamation mark. Now, to read this front
page. One word or two?
One word.
Okay.
Created by J. Bambi Smythe, professor of criminology. The first time
that sounds like a made up
skimmed this page, I assumed it was fake. But then with M.J. Costain, federal agent, also sounds made up. Mm. Illustrated by J.B. Smythe. Sounds real.
Oh, no, now it sounds real again.
Right?
Let's solve this mystery.
Do we need to look up J. Bambi Smythe?
I think I have to look up J. Bambi Smythe. Are you a real person?
Notably, I had to flip two pages to get to that because the front cover has no credits on it whatsoever.
Ooh, hold on a second.
Huh?
The National Library of Australia has... No, this is Bambi Smythe writing a book in 1959 about Australian animals.
Ah, so close. Well, while you are trying to solve the first mystery, as they say, I'll tell you a little bit about...
What is Sky Jinx? Oh, this lists Madhouse as being from 1959.
Well, that's curious.
So maybe this printing was from 1998, but the book itself might be from 59?
From 2000. It doesn't say anything about that. It's just got 2000 written
I apologize. That's when Smythe Bambi was born.
Okay.
They are from 1959. The book is from 2000.
I will say, it does right here just say Smythe, comma Bambi. It doesn't have the J in the like official little tiny words documentation at the start.
Mm.
And it's from Mount Waverley, Victoria.
Yeah, it seems like an Australian author.
Cool. Good work, whoever got me this.
There is another one called Sky Jinx from 2000.
And is...
Created by J. Bambi Smythe with M.J. Costain, illustrated by J.B. Smythe.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So on the National Library of Australia, they are listed as the author.
But we can't find any information about them. So presumably they either are not who they say they are, or they are very much who they say
I
they
think...
are.
But they also wrote a whole series of Australian animals books. W is for wombat, five ringtail possums, bad... Oh, what is this? So I think maybe they're a writer and they gave themselves a fake credit on that one.
Oh, boy. This is wild. We're digging in deep already.
How
funny. Meta are we going to get? So as we continue to look into that, I'll tell you what...
I found a Bambi Smythe was born in Scotland in 1959. It is a woman. Moved to Australia as a wee bairn when her naval officer father returned home with her three older sisters and remarkably patient mother. She started drawing at a very early age and has 16 children's books.
Oh, I'm glad there was a word at the end of that. That scared me for a second there.
What about Bambi Smythe, Men on the Menu? 75 delicious dates around the world. What about Three Men on a Horse? That's not related to this person in any way.
Let's start talking about Madhouse.
Yeah, let's talk about Madhouse.
So we have been told we've got some dot points of our instructions here. It says, snap to attention, gather your wits, okay. Watch your back as Danny Dangerfield, our 11-year-old protagonist.
Damn it, you're the detective.
And trusty Sherlock, the dog.
I guess I'm the dog.
Track down evidence and put together hundreds of clues. Inside, you'll find a dead body, a house full of suspects, a forensic report, and a giant crime scene foldout. Have you got what it takes to crack the case? Join Danny and Sherlock to solve the Madhouse mystery.
I love it. Okay, this is great fun. I'm excited. Mm. I don't know how long this is going to take us. It could be a two-parter.
Not even slightly. All right, would you like to set the scene?
I will set the scene. Yo, Danny Dangerfield here, the youngest detective in the world. I don't know, it says yo and his name's Danny. He's wearing a huge trench coat with a hat and sunglasses and weirdly looks just like the characters from the Osborne Puzzle Adventure series.
Very much so.
This is me outside the town hall. I was presented with an award for excellence for solving my last case. Cool, hey? And this is my dog, Sherlock. Sherlock is a basset hound, sort of bloodhoundy sort of a dog.
Yeah, for sure.
I found him at an animal shelter. He'd been dumped from the police academy for being a troublemaker. Now he's my partner. He even won a medal for bravery. You know, trouble's a funny thing. It always seems to follow me around. In shopping centres, at circuses, even in Hollywood. Take my latest case. Rex Thickwallet, Hollywood bigwig, heard about how I'd cracked the Skyjinx hijack case. Ah. That was the other book that we found. He invited Sherlock and me out to LA to talk up a film deal with us. We were enjoying a dinner party at a ritzy mansion in the Hollywood Hills when disaster struck. The host was murdered. What else could I do? I'm a detective. I had to help out.
Nice.
Here's what happened, ... Okay, so we get some more information about the scene of the crime.
Okay, right away. I don't know when we look at our giant map.
I don't know whether we should have our own private notebook.
What?
Should you keep notes?
Nah, we'll be fine.
Okay. Local police arrived at the Rockley Mansion. I'm paraphrasing a little bit here. We have plenty of photos and documents about the Rockley family and their staff and the guests who attended the anniversary dinner. So the police provided us with all this information. They gave us dossiers. Dossiers or doshes? I have here an article from the Herald Tribune, October 22nd. Ready?
Yeah.
Murder at midnight. Famous movie star found dead. By David Adams, crime reporter. Rock Rockley, one of the two famous heartbreak twins of Hollywood, was found dead in his stately mansion in the Hollywood Hills last night. Rock, the elder of the infamous duo, who shot to celluloid stardom in the 1960s, was hosting a dinner to celebrate 35 years in show business. His guests at the anniversary dinner included a number of well-known socialites and movie celebrities. Events leading up to the death of Rockley are still unclear, but he was found dead in his chair after an electrical blackout plunged the house into darkness for over 20 minutes.
Oh.
Classic. That is a long time. Lights go out, and within 20 minutes, someone gets stabbed or shot. Or it said shot? Did he say he was shot?
I don't know.
Did he say he was shot? Just murdered.
Now, who was this person versus, I thought we were being visited by Mr. Thickwallet.
Rex Thickwallet, you're right.
So
he wasn't the host. He just invited you to a party.
Yeah, sure.
That was hosted by Rock Rockley, one of the two famous heartbreak twins. Because we are at the Rockley Mansion.
Yes, we are.
The cause of Rockley's death is not yet known.
Okay.
The case is currently being investigated
by
internationally.
Probably not shot then.
This newspaper article person doesn't know. Hmm. We haven't allowed them to know anything. The case is currently being investigated by the internationally renowned crime detective Danny Dangerfield. Is there any non-crime detective? Who coincidentally was a guest at the dinner party. The youthful Dangerfield.
Cheating spy, like a PI who gets cheating couples. That's not
really
a crime detective.
Right. The youthful Dangerfield has solved two puzzling crimes in the last 6 months. New York's disappearing diamonds mystery. So maybe there's a third one of these.
Mm.
And the hijacking of Flight 407 over Britain earlier this year. And there's a picture of Rock receiving his latest Oscar. You can have a look at what... Could you like to describe Rock and his twin to the audience at home?
Oh, those are the twins?
I would assume so, given that Rock is one half of the twins.
They don't look that alike.
Maybe they're not alike. Maybe that's his
partner. Similar eyelids?
Also, Rock may also have a romantic partner unrelated to his twin.
Yeah, this is true. I don't know how to describe this person. The Oscar is half his body height.
Okay, he's a little guy. Yeah, that is a massive Oscar.
It's longer than his head by far.
It's being held at an angle.
Head to collarbone, at least.
If he held it vertical, it would go from his sternum to the center of his eyes.
Yeah.
But he has like a twirly moustache.
It's not twirly.
It's just droopy. Is it a droopy moustache?
Neither. It's like a Japanese eight.
His moustache is...
It's Hachi.
It's 540. It's a 540 moustache
on a
clock.
With a little curve.
With a little curve.
A light curve. It's a Hachi.
It's a Hachi. It's the kanji for eight.
He has quite possibly the most extreme butt chin that it is possible to have.
Yes, his chin is a W.
Legitimately, it's just a full W. It sticks out prominently.
Let's just say I know exactly what Tom Scott would see when he looked at that chin.
But he looks happy enough, a little tired, because prominent eyelids make someone look tired.
Mm, he does have prominent eyelids. Very tired. Hey, everyone, this will take us four parts to get through this book.
He's standing next to someone. I see on the next page he does have a wife, so that might be his wife.
It could be his wife.
Who, I don't know, kind of similar. Also has eyelids.
There you go. That's what you need.
Dressed up nice. Don't know much to say about her. Hair is covering one ear, so I can only see her wearing one earring. But anyway, the following page says that the dead man's wife, her name is Pixie, and according to her, there are lots of people missing.
Oh.
So several people have fled the scene already, I guess.
Okay, that's interesting.
Mm. And so I, Danny, or you, Danny, whoever's Danny.
We, Danny.
Is going to interview the remaining dinner guests and family members and staff to find out what's happened and then sift through all the evidence. And now we've got some instructions. Here's what to do.
Please.
Unfold the last page of the book. It contains a cross-section snapshot of the events occurring in the Rockley Mansion minutes before the murder took place. Then two. Each guest and member of the household and each piece of evidence has been given a number. As you read through the suspect list and evidence file, locate each piece of information on the foldout, e.g. clue 30 on page 14, blah, 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 find that.
That's Golden Idol-style close-ups.
And use the evidence Danny presents to help build your case.
You just click on the things and then it gets you more information about them.
All right. Flipping the page over, it's got us a floor plan of the mansion as well, so a top-down sort of view as well. And then it gives us various pages that we can look at. Crime details, murder victim, main suspects, other key players, evidence file, forensic reports. It tells us all the things that we can do.
But it did say our next step was to open up the map.
It did. So I think we should do that now. This map.
All right. This map is huge, everybody.
Large.
We're going to try and find space on our table to have a look at this.
Also, somewhat Where's Wally-esque in that there is a lot happening. And not only that, it comes with... it comes with 16 little questions that are to help you solve the mystery, like, who would have a motive for this? That sort of thing. Mm. And then it's got 15 mini mysteries. So just like things like, well, who would have been responsible for breaking that glass?
So Golden Idol style little puzzles.
Yeah. And then a couple more just extra things, like... can you see 9 cats in this picture?
Oh, that's
classic. All sorts of little things.
That's classic. All right. This thing is massive.
Let's giant map first.
I've laid it out so it's great for me and terrible for Danny. And I think
I'm just going to come over to your microphone, I think.
That's a bad idea.
It's not great, but it'll do.
So what are we looking at? We're looking at a 4-story mansion. And I want to say that this room here, the dining room.
That is a dining room.
Which is on the second floor on the far left. Is that not where the dead body was marked?
It was. Cool. So it's in there.
I don't see a dead body in the dining room.
Well, no, because this is minutes before the murder.
Oh,
look,
this is minutes.
Look at people 1 and 6. Those are clearly our twins.
Yes. So people 1 and 6 sitting in the dining room are two men wearing smoking jackets with curly moustaches.
Much curlier than the Hachi, but I think it's still the same person.
So those are the twins. One of those is our victim, and we don't know who yet, either 1 or 6. But perhaps if we looked, we could see which is which. But let's give a bigger definition. There's so much going on here.
I'm just running between microphones trying to get the best sound.
while still looking at the picture.
So we have a giant four-story pink mansion. There is stuff going on everywhere. This is like a Where's Wally style. Did you just say that already? Well, I wasn't listening to you. Okay. There is stuff going on everywhere. As Danny says, it is a Where's Wally style cacophony of action. Was that how you said it?
Something like that. Yeah, where should we start? Because there's so much going on. Do you want to go top down or left to right?
Let's go top down. Let's see. Let's give a quick rundown of everything that's left to right, top down. What's happening in each room?
Okay.
Like so, top left.
Overview is the toppest leftist seems to be some sort of baby nursery.
It is Edgar's nursery.
Because, okay, that baby Edgar has his head stuck between the bars.
Yes, a baby has stuck his head between the bars of his crib and is currently being freed by two firefighters. And there's a woman going, my baby. Next to that, we have a man looking
anything
out of a...
on the outside? There's a bird on the roof. Is that doing anything?
There's a bird freaking... There's a duck who's freaking out because there's a gargoyle that's come to life.
Aww. Wait, what?
That gargoyle has come to life. There are
it
blue
is looking
cats.
Right at it, but I don't think it's come to life.
There are blue cats all around the outside of the top of the roof. Mm. There's a cat burglar trying to break in.
There appears to be a flying saucer as well.
There's a flying saucer far away. Okay. But we see a guy trying to break in. Mm. He's got a rat on a... string distracting a cat. So I think these are security cats.
Okay.
There's a
he's
cat burglar.
He's already succeeded because he's got a bag stuffed full of stuff.
He's got a bag of loot. And he's trying to break in to Rock Jr.'s attic bedroom.
Or
and we can see
someone
looking out of another window of that same bedroom.
Oh, yeah, well, someone's got a telescope.
Who presumably is Rock Jr. He is on either a mobile phone or a walkie-talkie and he's looking through a telescope like a creep. And in
I
the
think
far...
that's an old-school mobile phone with an
is.
Antenna.
And in the top right, where Rebel's bedroom is...
Oh, yeah, that's clearly Rebel.
We
she's
see
got
Rebel.
A mohawk.
She's got a mohawk. She's looking out the window down at the ground.
She looks like she's dropping something, but I can't see her dropping anything.
She looks like she's hailing the pizza guy who's just arrived at the door outside. She's like, hey, bring that up here to Rebel's bedroom. I hate parties. I'm Rebel.
Cool. So, yeah, lots of children not involved in this dinner party.
It also looks like she's packed a trunk as if she's trying to leave. Maybe she's going to jump out the window.
Yeah,
oh,
maybe.
No. Look at who she's actually signaling. Not the pizza guy. The other punk-looking dude.
Oh, there's a punk dude on a motorbike down there giving a thumbs up looking at her.
There is a punk dude on a motorcycle.
She's running away.
So Rebel is trying to run away. And that is the top of four floors. I have no idea how this is going to be as a listening experience, everybody, but I hope you're keeping track of some of these characters.
There's a lot going on.
We're on to floor number, three or two, depending on how you count it. It's either second from the top, it's level two on an Australian leveling system where you'd have ground one and two, or it's level three on an American leveling system.
It's definitely the third story.
It is the third story. So we have here on the left, we have Rock and Pixie's bedroom. So this is where
the victim's bedroom.
The victim would be. But the victim is not here. Instead, there is a man...
Wait, do you mean this is where the murder victim would be?
Sorry. This is the murder victim's bedroom.
Yes.
Yeah. But the person in there is not the murder victim.
Oh,
there
is there a person in there?
There is instead a man with red hair and a bald patch playing
is he
around
opening
with
a safe?
Well, he's messing around with a shelf above a safe, but he's clearly looking at the safe. So he might be trying to steal from...
Okay.
So that's two thieves so far. Mm. One runaway and a spy, a creep, and a baby.
Is that also a note on a desk in that bedroom?
There seems to be in that bedroom a lockbox on his bed and a box that has arrived, like a shipping box with something written on it, which is a piece of evidence we can look at.
Mm.
Oh, bearing in mind, when we're talking about this cat burglar, on the far left of the building, there is someone has shot a grappling hook onto the roof from below, and there is a man.
Yeah, that's a scary looking man.
With an axe.
Axe and a grappling hook is often not a great combination.
But I think maybe he found the grappling hook and he has the axe ready to get whoever climbs back down. Maybe he's anti-thief.
That's still terrifying.
Oh, yeah, he's a thief. Meanwhile, we're still on that second floor. Next to Rock and Pixie's bedroom, there is a bathroom.
Someone is in the bath.
In which someone is having a bath. There is also a bra. I don't know if this is a big woman or a man next to some woman's clothing. Mm. Like they were dressed as a woman. I'm not quite sure how to take it, but there's a wig and a bra and shoes. The wig makes me think it's someone dressed as a woman.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
And they might have a little... What are they holding here?
I think that's a razor. I believe they're shaving their face.
Okay, so there's a man pretending to be a woman... In the bathroom.
A tradition in murder mysteries by now.
Next to that, we've got...
Next room.
The next
room. Oh, this is a weird room.
It's just like a, it's just the stairs up. It's, this is the top of the stairs.
Okay.
So it's like a foyer on the third floor. It's a third floor foyer.
Sure.
There's some weird stuff going on in here.
There is a collection of Oscars.
There are Oscars. Hmm? There is a weird, like, platform Jesus. He looks like he's a Hollywood Jesus wearing platform shoes. He's got an upside down crucifix on his shirt. I don't know if that's intentional or just part of the draw, just a plus sign on his shirt. Maybe it's going to be a right way up.
When
crucifix.
We call him platform, this is a real living person who just happens to be on very high platform shoes.
He has platform shoes.
There are some swords on the walls.
Swords. I see a dresser that has the letter Y on it.
Are we going to get to the weirdest part of this room?
There is a man in an ape costume or an ape looking in through the window.
In amusement at, I believe that's us walking up the stairs.
I believe that is us. We're currently just coming up the stairs into level 3.
There is also a fishbowl with a fish that should not be in that fishbowl because it's way too big for it.
Oh, this is wild. There's a gorilla looking inside.
Yeah.
And there is a gorilla mask in a box in that room.
Oh, okay. There are meant to be multiple gorillas running around.
So many things happening. Then there is a child.
Wearing a gorilla costume but without a mask.
So I think that child went to the zoo in a gorilla costume and lured this gorilla back unintentionally. I think this gorilla has been following the child dressed as a gorilla, being like, is that my baby? Is that my baby? And has arrived at the house.
Well, that's quite something.
There is a door that leads into another bathroom on the far right of this floor.
That bathtub has a very peculiar symbol on it.
There
it's
is
like
a
an
weird
alchemical
symbol
carved into the toilet.
Yeah, there's a like a mercury-ish kind of symbol on the toilet. There's a Y on the dresser. I see no other symbols, but maybe that's something. And there's a woman who's trying to get out of the bathroom. The kid in the gorilla costume has locked her in.
Oh, her in there?
And she's banging on the door trying to
get
out. That is the third floor. We are now on floor number 2.
Okay, we got the dining room. We know this is where the body will be dead.
Quick recap.
Yeah.
Quick recap. We have seen baby trying to get out of its crib. We've seen a guy peering out of a window. A cat burglar. A rebel saying, I'm going to jump out the window, catch me, my rebel boyfriend. A guy trying to steal from Rock Rockford's safe.
Mm-hmm. A man in a bath who has been pretending to be a woman.
A man pretending to be a woman having a bath. Jesus and a gorilla in the foyer, plus a little gorilla kid, a real human dressed as a gorilla, who's locked someone in a bathroom.
Yes.
That's what we've covered so far.
Let's go into the dungeon.
God, I hope this makes any sense for everybody, and I hope you're enjoying it.
We have no idea where this is going and how this turns into a murder.
I think
at this
a
stage.
Lot of this episode will just be getting this scene, and then we're going to drill down into some details.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's look at what's happening on the
dining
on the
room,
floor.
Ideally the most important room.
The dining room is the room where the murder victim dies. And we see him and his twin, we don't know which is which, sitting at a table. There are many other people sitting at this table. There is an angry Texan guy who's arguing with a Frenchman in a yellow suit who has sat on a whoopee cushion and is jumping into the air. There is a woman who looks like Joan of Arc level of... Like, she's wearing like a white headdress and a green dress, and she looks like a French person from the 1400s.
She does look like a French maiden.
But not too much. She's looking...
I'll bet her name's Guinevere.
Her name's going to be Guinevere. She's looking at that argument, shocked at the fart, probably. And there is a woman in a red dress who... Is that
classic femme fatale. Was that Pixie?
It could be. The eyes and the lips look the same, but the hair is different.
Mm.
So it could be her. Could be the wife.
Okay.
Is standing with a bottle of wine, looking away from the table towards us, the viewer. There's also a waiter, it seems. He looks stressed, a stressed waiter. But no one yet is dead here. Oh, there is also two portraits of Victorian-looking or Elizabethan-looking people, one of whom looks very judgmental and one of whom does not.
Hmm.
But that's just a portraiture.
Is there a time on that clock? I don't know. I can't imagine it matters. But...
Ooh, I will lean my head in and have a look at the clock. It's quite small. It is 10 p.m.
Intriguing. Next room over.
Next room over.
There is
the sitting room.
And it is, first thing to notice is a young girl who is pointing and laughing towards the dining room. She clearly placed that whoopee cushion.
She clearly placed the whoopee cushion, so we know who did that. There's a Siamese cat trying to get a mouse that is cowering under a chair.
Sure.
There is a maid who is putting something onto food. That's the most poisonous looking thing I've ever seen.
Poison.
That maid is poisoning some food.
Yeah.
And there is a big letter E on a cushion.
Okay.
The third strange symbol we've seen. Other than that, there's some deer heads, a big mirror, more Oscars.
Wow. This family.
And then We continue on into the entrance hall where something insane is happening.
Yep.
A woman with a chainsaw that has been plugged into the wall, it requires power from a wall socket, is menacingly walking into the sitting room where that girl is laughing about the whoopee cushion. I don't know what she intends to cut with a chainsaw, but she is mad.
Yeah, that's nonsense.
She is dressed as if she should have a chainsaw. She's wearing overalls and boots. Maybe she's a worker at the
Yeah, she looks like she's in construction of some sort, but I don't know what's going on there. That's terrifying.
We also see a dog pooping in the hall. That's a dog pooping in the hall. Like, you can't, there's poop coming out of its butt.
I don't know what to tell you,
there's
but
a dog
yes,
pooping
that
in the
is
hall.
A dog actively in the act
there
of
is
pooping.
There is a Ming vase.
Oh, it's got some, is that, there's a pattern or some cracks?
I think it's a pattern, but it could be cracks.
Interesting.
And there is a old man
his
pajamas.
Rolling up his sleeves as if
punch.
Preparing to strike someone.
And I don't know who he's angry at. He kind of looks like he's angry at us based on his eye line. He looks like he's looking at us going up the stairs.
I don't
like he
know.
Hates
it
kid
It could
detectives.
Also be Chainsaw Lady.
Could be Chainsaw Lady. There is a suit of armor in this room, a chandelier, and a waiter hanging up someone's coat.
Probably not a waiter, then. Sorry, a butler.
A butler hanging up someone's fur coat in a manner. Oh no, he might be taking it down. I'm not sure. He looks furtive.
There is also another errant piece of paper.
There is an errant piece of paper on the stairs that lead from level 2 to level 3. At the door, there is a pizza boy who's delivering pizza. He looks real fancy for a pizza boy.
Yeah, no one seems to be making a move to go towards that pizza, so I have no idea who that's for.
No one's answering the door.
This dinner party doesn't seem like it needed pizza, so maybe it's for one of the upstairs kids who isn't part of this party.
And then out the front, down the stairs that enter the house, there's a parked car, a couple of rabbits running around, some bushes. It's just
what
an outdoor
wildlife
scene.
Wildlife here.
There's one floor left.
Okay.
Here we have the kitchen. This is like the ground floor, but it's kind of under the house, like because you go upstairs to get to the main entrance. So it's not quite.
Not
it's like a basement
level.
That's above ground.
It's a little basement-y.
It's a weird above ground basement. Mm. So we've already talked about the guy with the axe outside.
Yep.
There's a dog who's running away.
That's our dog. That's Sherlock.
Oh, that Sherlock is running out of the kitchen with a long length of sausages. The woman in the kitchen is shocked at the lack of sausages. Other than that, she's got a big cleaver and she's cutting up like carrots and tomatoes, washing stuff in the sink, just doing kitchen duties. Nothing that interesting.
Yeah.
As we move along.
Are all those knives present? I see a lot of knives hanging on the wall. Are there any
threatening
missing
spaces?
There is
no threateningly missing knife that I could see. In the kitchen as well, we see there's a sleeping cat. There is a fridge. There's something boiling on the stove. And outside, there are some bins where there's a cat stealing stuff out of the bins.
Very full bins?
Very, very full bins. We also see, as we continue along, the kitchen hallway, where a woman who is wearing a sweater that is a very revealing sweater, while also covering all of her skin.
Quite something.
Has a knife, and she's looking angry.
She is just presenting a knife.
She has the same lips as the wife
Pixie.
Character.
Mm.
Not the same eyes, but the same lips, so
now,
there could be some connection between the two.
It's true, or we just have no idea. That might just be how Bambi Smythe illustrates.
It could also be how Bambi loves to draw lips. We see there's a trap door. I don't know where it leads.
That's exciting.
There's a mop. There's a fuse box. A fuse box!
Oh, that's very
exciting. The
lights
went out for 20 minutes. We found a fuse box in the kitchen hallway.
What's the other box to the left that's got a no symbol on it?
I don't know, but it has a giant no symbol on it. It has a number, so we can find out soon when we start to investigate.
There is also outside, in front of this room, on the grass.
A sleepwalking old man who's about to trip on a skateboard.
Lovely.
There's a cat who's mad at a dog who is chained to his doghouse. But he's a bulldog. There's some real Tom and Jerry energy.
A little bit.
With a lot, like, this, the woman in the kitchen looks like the woman in Tom and Jerry.
She does.
The dog chained to the fence is very Tom and Jerry. Big Tom and Jerry energy. And then the final room to look at is Reginald Rockley's bedroom. The other twin who sleeps down the bottom
of the
house.
Wow, he's not favoured.
He's not favoured. But he has, there's a window that goes straight into his room, but that doesn't look relevant. There is a giant statue of a naked Greek man.
That's outside. That's not in his room.
Oh, that's outside. I thought that was in his room.
But yeah, so just outside his bedroom is a very large statue of a very naked man. And there is an older woman staring very intently at the genital area of this statue.
Yeah, just absolutely got her face right up in those genitals. Like, oh my.
But she doesn't look offended.
She doesn't look offended. She looks a little bit nervous. She also looks like she's ready for bed. I wonder if she's paired with the man who is about sleepwalking onto a skateboard.
This is a weird form of sleepwalking for her.
And there is a dog peeing on the statue, and the statue has an H on it.
Ah,
another letter.
Okay.
I believe we've now covered everything in the scene.
Except for this thing.
What's there's also a piece of, what is that?
Can is that a in? Flyer that's been stuck to the wall?
That looks like a flyer that is a reward for a lost animal.
Oh, well, there are so many animals here. Okay.
There's a lot going on. Hopefully we've covered it all. But basically, a lot of people are running around looking at stuff. The only things we've seen that are, like, suspicious in terms of murder, other than a woman with a chainsaw.
Yeah,
is
I think we would know all that.
A possible poisoning happening
near the
kitchen.
Yeah, the maid who is poisoning some food, potentially, and the fuse box.
And there are fuse boxes downstairs. And there's a woman with a knife near those fuse boxes, looking angry.
Mm.
So, what are our next steps? We can get some information about the murder victims and the main suspects.
I think that's a great
idea. So we can get an understanding of who the players are.
But this will be good. We can identify some of these people.
From pages 6 to 7, and then 8 to 11, we get all the key players. So why don't we try and maybe, before we get to evidence, because that'll require some actual proper, let's get an idea of who all the players are. And maybe that'll be episode 1. Here we go. First off is the murder victim.
Good to know.
Rock Rockley, who we know is the brother who is sitting at the head of the table.
Okay, good to
know. It is the twin at the head of the table.
Great. He looks a lot more dead now. And I say, looking at this picture of dead Rock Rockley, that's a poisoning, right?
Yes, in this picture he has
He's
a blue
green.
Tongue. Although, actually...
You got more?
Okay, he has food stains on his shirt. He has gone all green. His tongue is sticking out. His tongue is blue. But if I give you this picture of Rock Rockley, could you examine the mirror, the window behind him?
Oh, that window behind him has a big crack through it. Like
what if someone
hole
like
in it?
Shot a poison dart through the window behind him? Because he has his back facing towards a window, and in that picture of him being dead, there is a crack in that window.
Not only that, can you look at his neck very closely?
There are vampire bites
on his neck. He has vampire bites on his neck.
So something weird has happened. There are a couple of things there. It's not as simple as an obvious poisoning. After interviewing all remaining members of the household and dinner guests, and from my own observations of people's behavior while at the party, I've come up with 8 major suspects. So these are the major suspects.
This is why so many people are carrying weapons. Vampires are on the loose.
First of all, number 2, who is the woman in the basement with the incredibly revealing sweater.
Seems like a pretty major suspect.
Lucy Zimmerman, a fan and keen follower of Rock Rockley's movie career.
Oh boy, you don't want that person with a knife in
your
house.
She's also massive. She looks like she's like
she's bigger than the doorframe.
She's huge.
Yeah.
She's a giant woman. We also have Rock Rockley Jr. Rock Rockley Jr.
The
is
telescope.
The one who's looking out of a telescope from his bedroom. In this picture, however,
he has a black eye.
As if someone punched him.
He might
for
have
being
just
such
telescoped
a
wrong.
Ooh, he could have telescoped wrong.
Like, just hit his eye.
Yeah, because he was looking through a telescope. That's really interesting. He's Rock's eldest son and heir to the estate. We also see, I love the fact that these pictures are from later on than this setup. So we can kind of figure out information. Because here's another thing. Number 4.
Oh.
Number 4 is Chris Anthemum, which is the woman
with so she's a gardener. Chainsaw lady.
A gardener recently fired from the Rockley estate.
And she's
and
she
in
is handcuffs.
In handcuffs in this picture. So she has been
she
arrested.
She was actually going on a chainsaw rampage.
So she was trying to, or maybe she was going to destroy something. She is walking towards where there's
some
like
Oscars.
Oscars, or also some plants in that room. Maybe she's like,
she would never destroy
mess
plants.
With
it's not Chris Anthemum.
She looks like she was going to cause some chaos. So she's a fired gardener.
Cool.
Okay. Mo Hawk.
Okay, is that the boyfriend?
That is the boyfriend on the motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
The boyfriend of Rock's daughter, Rebel,
mm-hmm.
reported missing.
Oh, no.
So we don't know where he is right now. He ran away on his bike.
Well, I mean, her plan looks like it was to run away. So
that is true.
Maybe
so they may have run away.
Going according to plan for them.
Dinner guest, Rhett Rockley.
Sure.
Wait, hold on a second. Was that his bedroom at the bottom? Was that called Rhett?
It was.
No, that's Reginald Rockley.
Oh, sorry. Oh, maybe that's a father or something. That explains the ability to sleepwalk.
Yeah, I don't know who Reginald Rockley is. Dinner guest Rhett Rockley, Rock's identical twin brother, also a movie star. He's number 6 at the dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the one not sitting at the head of the table. Number 7 is Mimi L'Amour, the Rockley's maid. This is the one who's
poisoning
food. Or she's doing, maybe she's just seasoning it. I don't know.
From a green bottle.
Green, yeah, it's cilantro. It's coriander. I've decided to embrace both audiences here. Coriander would be mine. The Rockley's maid, a recent addition to the staff. Mm. She is on an exchange program from France. She could be a plant.
Not
if anyone
France.
Else is French.
She's Guinevere's friend.
Number 8 is the Texan cowboy. Uh-huh. That is dinner guest Rex the Tex Thick Wallet. That's the guy who invited us.
Oh, okay, great. Oh, so he's our friend. Lovely.
Rock and Rhett's financial partner and co-owner of Filmstar Films. I don't believe he would do a murder, because who would go to a party to do a murder and invite a young detective with you? A world-famous crime detective.
Only those sorts of people who say, no, I'm going to do a crime that they can't do. I'm going to go right under their noses. Ha, 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 ha. And no, I don't think Thick Wallet's the type.
No, I don't think Thick Wallet's the type. Number 9 is the guy outside with the axe below the grappling hook.
Uh-huh.
This is B.O. Bogsnodder, a former employee who played alongside Rock and Rhett in some of their horror movies.
Okay.
Nothing interesting about how he looks in this photo.
Yeah. A little scary, as we expected, but no, he doesn't look like, he doesn't have any black eyes.
He's so scary that he couldn't have done anything.
Yeah, right.
All right. Next. Shall I keep? So those are the main suspects.
Yeah.
We could look at the other players and then maybe finish the episode with an understanding of who all these people are.
And then coming up with some early predictions.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. Other key players. Number 10, this is the woman who I thought could have been his wife, but is not.
Oh,
seems.
Okay.
It says there's something fishy about these guys. Keep an eye on them as well as you sort through the evidence files. Angel Devine, a wannabe Hollywood starlet.
Sure.
She is crying in this picture as if saddened by his death.
Intriguing.
Number 11, which is...
Oh, this is Jesus.
This is Platform Shoes Jesus, is Ziggy Lightfingers, a well-known rock musician and collector of Hollywood paraphernalia.
Sure.
So he's here to thieve.
Yeah, he's right next to the Oscars.
He's right next to the Oscars and he's got his hands in his pockets, or behind his back even. Mm-hmm. I think he's stolen an Oscar right there. Number 12 is...
Is it weird that, of all things... Like, I've told you I don't remember this book at all.
Mm.
The name Ziggy Lightfingers is setting off memory bulbs.
Now, the woman who he thought had a strange headdress on, that is her natural hair.
What?
It is white hair.
Oh, you're right. She's just a hippie wearing
She's just a hippie with a headband. She does not have a cloth 1400s French peasant headdress.
Okay, I apologize, Guinevere.
This is Galaxy Moondust.
So close.
Celebrity clairvoyant.
Oh, no, okay.
Who is there to give Rock a crystal ball reading. However, I do not see a crystal ball.
Is that a crystal ball?
Oh, there's a crystal ball in the dinner entryway.
Next to the poisoning.
Yep. The strange woman who's been locked in the bathroom.
Oh, okay.
This, I believe, is dinner guest Prunella Peabody.
Okay.
The one who's
she
locked in the
serious.
Bathroom. Rock's personal assistant and president of the Twins fan club.
Okay.
Also reported missing.
Oh, no.
Now, is that just because no one found her in the locked bathroom? Or did something else
happen? That would be pretty terrible.
Because she's been reported missing.
Oh, that's unfortunate. I get little chills when you say that someone was reported missing.
Right? Pixie Rockley, obviously.
Oh, right.
Is the
in
woman
the baby
looking
room.
After the baby. That's the mother of the baby.
It didn't occur to me that the mother of the baby in this house was probably the woman who lived in this house.
That's the wife of Rock Rockley. She is still, that baby's still crying, but he's out. He's free.
Yeah, but I'm scared by the pallor of his skin. He has not recovered.
No. Gonzo the gorilla?
Okay.
This may be what the reward was for.
Ah.
Because there's missing. A reward is offered for any information leading to the recovery of Gonzo, reported missing from the Hollywood Zoo this week.
I don't know. When I try to look at that missing poster, no, it looks like a giant rat that a person is riding. That's what it looks like to me.
That's what a gorilla is.
Mm.
He was recently transferred to the Hollywood Zoo. Separation from his mate Lulu has made him depressed and bad-tempered. That's why he's following the boy in the outfit.
Dressed almost like Lulu.
We're solving mysteries left, right, and center here. This mystery book for children. Horace Knott is the Rock Eyes butler. He's number 16. I don't see. Oh, he's the one at the door.
Hanging up or hanging down a coat.
Yeah, dealing with a coat. Rockley's butler, a faithful servant for 12 years, reported missing.
Oh, man.
That's weird.
This is so scary.
Why is that true? Why would he be missing?
I don't know.
We also have Max Murphy, the old man who's getting ready to fight.
Yep, the puncher.
He is the Rockley's next door neighbor. He did not want his photo taken. He's covering his face with his hand.
I also say, I don't know how much it matters. It might have just been the fun of Bambi Smythe making this picture. He looks left-handed to me. He's pulling up his left sleeve for a
punch. He does look left-handed.
He has already pulled up his right sleeve, so I guess he did both.
Yeah, no, you're right. There are a few more. How many? There's another set of pages of these people.
We'll just get through who all of the characters are.
Number 18.
That's got to be Reginald. That's a Reginald.
This is the man who's wandering outside.
Great.
Sleepwalking onto a skateboard.
He is clearly a Reginald in that picture.
That is Reginald Rockley. So it's his bedroom in the bottom floor.
What? So you just stuck your father in the basement to sleep.
That's what you do when you're a Hollywood millionaire.
Or maybe you had to because he sleepwalks so much.
He's the 82-year-old father of the twins and co-founder of Filmstar Films. Has a habit of sleepwalking around the Rockley Mansion at night yelling out nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Reported missing.
Well, yeah, he's about to step on a skateboard
and go into the bin.
He's going to go into the garbage.
He's going to go into the garbage. 19 is Rebel Rockley, the one leaning out of the bedroom window.
Got to be reported missing, right?
Rock's 16-year-old adopted daughter.
Okay.
Recently grounded for staying out late with her bikey boyfriend. Reported missing. That's a happy love story.
Yeah, it's a happy love story of the 16-year-old runaways.
Yeah, wait, how old's the guy? Did he get an age?
Oh, I don't know if he did.
Mohawk, the 44-year-old boy... wait, no, it's not. It doesn't get an age. Tabitha Rockley is a girl...
Oh, Whoopi Cushion.
She's Whoopi Cushion girl. That is the 14-year-old... 14's too old for a Whoopi Cushion.
It is.
Rock's 14-year-old daughter, expelled from several schools for her mischievous behaviour. She currently attends St. Catherine's School for Young Ladies.
That sounds right.
Jack Rockley...
Is that gorilla costume?
He's number 21.
Yeah.
That's gorilla costume. Rock's 8-year-old son.
Also clearly a nasty prankster because he's locking someone in the bathroom.
He attends Percival Primary School. Reported missing.
Oh, no.
Did she kill him?
I don't know. Something happened with this bathroom.
Did the woman he put in the bathroom open the door, kill him, and then run away with his corpse?
This is very upsetting.
Wild. Number 22 in the scene. The woman in the... Bath, who's probably a man, shaving their face and wearing a wig, is Brunhilde Pavlov, Jack and baby Edgar's nanny.
Okay.
And a recent arrival to the Rockley household reported missing.
She's Mrs. Doubtfire.
She came here to abduct that child, and she abducted Jack and left with him. She's reported missing. I don't trust this angry nanny.
I don't know. I reckon she's still around. She's just gone back to, like, not wearing a disguise. She's going to be somewhere.
Number 23 is the kitchen cook lady.
Mm-hmm.
That is Agnes Podge.
I feel like we are comfortable in this of saying man dressed up as woman and not like being more socially conscious of this because this is a book from the year 2000.
Yeah.
But trans people didn't exist yet.
Look, shaving, not a giveaway.
Mm. Wig?
Not necessarily a giveaway, but shaving and wig, that is trying to tell us it is a fake identity.
Oh, it's certainly absolutely trying to. But yeah, legitimately, there is no way that a children's book from the year 2000, it's just facts.
Yeah.
They weren't going to have trans people.
Agnes Podge, a trans cook who has worked for the Rockley household for 7 years. No, just a cook. Suffers from high blood pressure and nerves. She looks very sad in this photo.
Yeah, she really does.
And then we have Dwayne Harris, who's number 24. He's the waiter at the dinner.
Okay.
A servant employed to do light maintenance work around the mansion and to serve drinks. He looks so sad.
Mm.
And he has a big monobrow.
Oh, he does too.
That might come into play. 25, which is the woman looking at the
statue.
Statue.
Yeah.
Miss Bess E. Boddy, the Rockley's next door neighbour.
Oh.
And her dog Splash, the one who's peeing on the statue.
Okay.
And then not pictured. We have Archibald Arrowsmith, an assassin who kills for a fee, known to have been working in the Hollywood District at the time of the murder.
Oh, that's not the cat burglar, is it?
Well, he has a goatee
bald
on his chin and quite hairy arms. His exact whereabouts at the time of the crime are unknown.
Yeah, I'll say. Huh.
I haven't seen him. He could be the cat burglar. Do we see anyone who looks suspicious? This guy doesn't get a...
We don't know. Yeah, we still don't know anything about the safe cracker.
The guy who's looking at the safe, he doesn't get a number. We have no idea who that is.
That's fun.
That is interesting. And those are all the people.
Okay.
So, end of episode one. Let's not look any further at any of these details. I think we've solved a lot of these mysteries.
We got a lot of the baby.
What do we think is happening in this mystery?
Oh, I don't understand the shooting through the window. Where even is the window in that room?
The window
is behind him.
Is behind him here. If the crack in the window is relevant to someone murdering him, it would be someone who's used that grappling hook, climbed a little bit up so they could shoot through the window.
And vampire bite him.
Maybe the guy who worked on their horror films has vampire teeth.
It just bit him in the dark.
But this doesn't make any sense.
No,
yeah, that's a good point. This isn't happening right now. It's happening, like, there'll be a blackout seconds after this, and then the murder will happen during the blackout. Which kind of makes the poisoning of the food irrelevant. Like, if you poison someone's food, you don't need a blackout to do it. In fact, the blackout seems counterproductive. You put poison on someone's food, they're not going to eat it during a blackout. They're going to go, oh, what's going on? Oh, oh. Unless it's to hide that, right? You poison them with the food, then you make a blackout, and people will naturally be like, if he died during the blackout, it must have been a blackout-related killing. But actually, he was already dead, living on borrowed time after eating the poison food.
This is also clearly a house of very angry people. There could have been multiple death threats to him.
Yeah.
We don't know anything about why people wanted to kill him yet. Now, maybe lots of people had very good reasons.
The maid who is poisoning the food is a recent addition to the household from France.
Yeah, so she can be a spy of some sort. We didn't find out who the French guy was, did we? Yellow Jacket? Whoopee cushion?
No, we don't know who the Yellow Jacket Whoopee cushion man is.
Wow, I wonder why they're not important suspects.
Yeah. I'd also like to point out, this is the mystery book for children.
Mm-hmm.
There'll probably be some note somewhere that says, I did it, I killed him with this knife. And then we'll just say that it was the guy who wrote that note. I don't know how
the
complex the mystery is going to be.
The 11th Hour never did that.
Yeah, but that was a mystery book for adults. So I think any sort of overthinking it is mostly for our own benefit rather than for the actual benefit of the solution. Angry person with a chainsaw, that's just a disgruntled former employee. That's fine. They can't get far with that chainsaw. It's plugged in the hall. You can't get to the bed,
they certainly weren't planning on chainsawing the dining room, whatever.
So they're just
going
into this side room and they're going to mess with stuff. Maybe destroy the Oscars, like you said. I don't know why the neighbor's mad. Maybe just because it's noisy here. Or something happened from this house and bothered the neighbor.
Yeah.
There are so many things to look at in this place.
So things that we can rule out, like Rebel and her bikey boyfriend, they seem cool. She was just running away. They are now away. They didn't have anything
Rebel.
To do with
them. Rebel's just, she's just fled. Yeah.
The bathroom business, Jack and Prunella, that's terrifying.
Here's what I think. Mm-hmm. She's locked in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. He's got the key. Mm-hmm. So no one can let her out. No one knows she's in there. He can't let her out because he gets abducted by the nanny.
Oh, not by the monkey? Not by the ape? I thought the ape might have abducted
him. Maybe it's a protective nanny. The ape apprehends the kid ape. He's like, you're my dead
Lulu.
Mate. You're Lulu. I'm going to take you back to the zoo. The nanny sees that. Sure, the nanny is a man pretending to be a woman. But that's just how you get nanny gigs back then. In the same way they didn't acknowledge that trans people existed in the year 2000, they also didn't acknowledge that men could be nannies.
Exactly.
But even in so far forward as Modern Family, they call them a manny.
Yep. Because
they have to specify. It's like, no, you're just a nanny. It's fine. So this person just wants to do their job well. They see the gorilla abducts the child.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, not on my watch, you big ape. Get your hands off him, you damn dirty ape. And then jumps out the window following the gorilla to the zoo. We'll find them later when we find the gorilla, right? That's why they...
I'm picturing Peter Griffin wrestling a chicken right now.
Yeah, that's the vibe. Platform Jesus is... He stole something. He's not going to do a murder. He just wanted to steal Hollywood memorabilia.
Yeah. Do we think, I don't know, was there some way that the woman in the basement, the super fan, she's right near the electricity power. Presumably she had to turn it off. No one else is around there. Almost no one else is even on that floor.
Yeah, true.
Surely she had something to do with that.
I think she must have turned the power off because there is no one else around.
But why? I have no idea because she doesn't look like she's in a position to do much with that ability.
No. And what does she want with the knife? Oh, there are keys next to her as well.
That's interesting.
Bunch of keys. I also see this grappling hook probably isn't the cat burglar, even though he is on the roof. It also goes right past the window to Rockley's bedroom.
Oh, so it could
where the
be
redheaded man is dealing with the safe.
That's interesting. It is hard to tell from this image what windows are open and what are closed.
No, right? But maybe redheaded man broke in to get something out of the safe. With the disgruntled former employee who's keeping watch at the bottom of that thing. Maybe
that's
he's in an alliance with the redhead man.
The axe really worries me.
The axe is there just in case there's trouble and they're going to steal something from that safe. Because
what would
he
keep in his safe?
Stuff that this guy believes is rightfully his as a former employee. Film reels of his debut film where he plays Frankenstein, which they decided not to release. And he's like, you'll get that out of the vault.
You release it now. It's my big break. I'm going to be Frankenstein. Everybody will say, Boris Hulov. This guy's the real Frankenstein. Listen to my voice. This is the voice of a Frankenstein. And you wanted to keep that from the world just because it showed off how poor an actor you are? My grasp at stardom will not be thwarted by your ego, Rockley.
Yeah, it was improv speeches like this that got him cut.
That was in the script! So it could be like that. That could be the situation there. Mm. The dining room, clearly food poison is a big thing, but he does have two little marks on his neck. Is there an evil snake anywhere? Do I see a snake?
Oh, that's interesting. Is there a snake in this scene? I haven't seen a snake, but if someone just sneakily brought a snake in to bite him, I would believe that.
I see no snakes, but it's got big snake energy. Mm. But there's a cat. The cat would have found a snake. Instead, it's found a mouse. It's all very interesting. Maybe it was the UFO.
I think at this stage, we should all blame the UFO.
Okay, I think we've pretty much got a handle on the scene. We've made our original guesses. Next episode.
My question is.
Oh, yeah.
It's clearly like sunset. The sky is yellow.
Yeah. 10 p.m.?
I mean, there is that, but how bad could this blackout possibly be?
Well, as soon as the sun goes down, that's when they black it out.
Yeah, fair.
There was no blackout. They just didn't actually have any lights on. The sun went out. They're like, it's a blackout. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I hope this is enjoyable. It's something obviously very different from a normal Solve This Murder, where we're looking at a kid's book that's about murders. But we're having fun. I have no idea what the solution is yet. We're going to look at evidence next episode. We're going to go through all the evidence. We're going to look at all the rooms, count up the bits and bobs and dribs and drabs. And we're going to solve this murder. Because really, that's what this show is about. Solving this murder. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. And we'll see you next episode.